Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho. Welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Our very special guest today is Marky Ramone, the drummer for the legendary punk rock band Ramones. Marky Ramone is best known for the 15 years he spent drumming for the Ramones. Prior to joining the Ramones, Marky played with an array of influential musicians dating back to his high school years when he was a member of the Brooklyn-based hard rock band Dust, recording two albums with his friends Richie Wise and Kenny Aronson for Neil Bogart's Karma Sutra and Buddha label. In 1976, Marky was introduced to Richard Hell along with Bob Quine and Ivan Julian. They formed Richard Hell and the Voidoids. The Voidoids released their groundbreaking debut album in 1977 on Sire Records entitled Blank Generation. Shortly after the Voidoids' historic UK tour with The Clash, Marky found himself at the bar CBGB with Dee Dee Ramone. Dee Dee asked him if he would be interested in joining the Ramones. The spring of 1978, Marky joined the Ramones, and in a matter of weeks, he was in the studio recording his first album with the Ramones entitled Road to Ruin, which features one of the biggest Ramones songs, I Want to Be Sedated. The following year, the Ramones filmed the cult classic Rock and Roll High School, and later that year, they joined forces with producer legend Phil Spector to record End of the Century. After several tours and two more studio albums, Marky was asked to leave the band in 1983, only to rejoin his bandmates in 1987 until they decided to call it quits in 1996. His tenure with the Ramones spanned a total of 15 years, performing over 1,700 shows and more than 15 releases, including songwriting credits on both Mondo Bizarro and Adios Amigos, the band's farewell release. In 2000, Marky reunited with longtime friend Joey Ramone for Joey's solo effort, Don't Worry About Me. In 2001, Marky, along with his former bandmates Johnny, Dee Dee, and Tommy, were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That same year, U2's Bono presented the Ramones with the MTV's Lifetime Achievement Award. The DVD release, Raw, a compilation of mostly home videos filmed predominantly by Marky, was released in 2004 and entered the Billboard video chart at number 5. Certified gold in 3 countries and currently the best-selling Ramones DVD release to date. In the spring of 2009, Marky launched a capsule collection clothing line with Hilfiger Denim. And in 2010, Marky shared his recipe for pasta sauce by introducing Marky Ramone's Brooklyn's Own Pasta Sauce. February 2010, the Ramones received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. It was the first Grammy for the punk rock pioneers. In early 2010, Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg with Mikhail Graves released their first single, When We Were Angels, with former member of Sheer Terror, Mark Newman, playing bass and guitar. With no signs of slowing down, Marky Ramone continues to tour the world with his band, Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg, featuring various lead vocalists, including Andrew W.K., and Mikhail Graves. Marky is currently in his 8th year as DJ on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, hosting Marky Ramone's Punk Rock Blitzkrieg. Ramone is also a best-selling author who recently released Punk Rock Blitzkrieg by Life as a Ramone. It's the final word on the genius and mischief of the Ramones, told by the man who kept the beat and lived to tell about it. Available to purchase everywhere, including Amazon.com and www.markyramone.com. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the Ray Shasho Show drummer, songwriter, author, and radio host, Marky Ramone. Thanks, Marky.
Hey, hello. Thank you for that wonderful intro build-up. That was great. Very informative.
Yeah, know, I figured maybe you forgot a couple of things down the road, so I'd remind
no,
you.
I don't forget. That's why I wrote the book. My memory serves me very well. The radio show is going on its 11th year.
Okay.
Let's see, what else? Yeah, that was great. That was great. Thank you.
We did an interview together before the remastered release of Heart Attack by Dust, which I said over and over.
Those were two albums together.
Right.
Heart Attack and the first one. And Sony Legacy decided to put it out, so me and Kenny, we mastered it. But, we did an interview when that came out a while back.
It's a great album. You know, I gave it five stars when it first came out.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, ironically, the guest on my next show will be Kenny.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Yeah, we're going to interview Kenny next.
Cool.
Tell
him I said hi.
I sure will. Now, did you and Kenny still do anything together? Do you collaborate at all?
No. I got my own band. I do 40 Ramon songs around the world, and that's what I enjoy doing, and that's what the new generation wants to hear, along with the older generation. They don't want to hear originals. They want to hear Ramon songs, so that's what I do best, and that's what I will continue to do as long as my body permits.
How is the body holding up, by the way?
Very good, very good.
Good.
Yep.
You got a really cool animated video out called I Want My Beer. I saw it, man. It is awesome.
Unbelievable. The guy did it, and he just has a particular style.
Right.
And I was amazed. He did it for nothing. I didn't commission him to do it, but he just did it out of the love of the song, I guess. And you saw how intricate it is. It's very mind blowing, you know.
Now these guys, it's Calicor Productions. Is that a French company?
Yeah. I was just gonna bring that up.
How did you hook up with these guys, anyway?
Well, I did a show there, a venue. They showed up and they got backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked the songs, and they already did one before this, so I knew it was going to be along the style that I Want My Beer.
Right.
So one thing led to another, and until it happens, it happens, and it did. So I was very grateful that he did something like that, because it definitely took a lot of time, as you can see.
Yep, I'd love to see more animated videos like that, because it really meshes well with your music.
Unbelievable! I mean, and I wrote that song, 97.
Right.
So all of a sudden now it's a video. See?
Why not bring it back? You know, it could be a hit again. You never know.
Whatever. I mean, I have the rights now to all my individual stuff, so
good.
I might re-release the two albums that I did solo.
You also did I Want to Win the Lottery with the Intruders. Was that also done by Calicor? Did they do
Yeah,
that one
same too? Thing. So the beer song was Intruders too. Obviously he likes what he hears. I guess he can do a video of any song he likes. He's that good. So, who's to say? Maybe he'll do another one, you know?
It's hard to find people like that, you know, with that kind of talent.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everybody needs to go to your site and check that out. I think it's also on YouTube as well, right?
Yeah, it's on Market Ramon Official, and it is at MarkRamon.com, and I think most definitely it's on YouTube.
Right. It's a great video. Everybody needs to see that. Now, Marky Ramone's punk rock Blitzkrieg radio show, which can be heard on SiriusXM Faction Channel 41 on Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. And then you have rebroadcast, right, on Friday?
Yeah,
midnight.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, yeah.
It's 3 hours long, and I play punk rock, and I try to help new bands get a start by playing their music. I mean, that's what it's all about. So it goes out to 50 states, mm-hmm. So if there's somebody listening that likes the new band, maybe they would help. They could help them out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you know, of course I play the you know, the hits from the Ramones, Blondie, Talking Heads, The Clash, the Pistols. You know, all these good bands that have great songs. But I like to help the little guy too. You know.
Yeah, somebody has to, because you know, I think it's a lot harder nowadays than it was back in the day. Them,
it's different. It's just different. You know, with technology now, it's easier to get your songs heard and recorded and brought, you know, sent to a an A&R guy that's working at a company. Back then, you had to go into a studio. You had to do the demos. You had to send them in on a reel-to-reels. Yeah, and you had to make sure that they got there. Sometimes they would get lost. That happened to a lot of bands, and and that was the end. Then you had to do it over again. So bands today, because of piracy, et cetera, they have to come up with clever ways to create a curiosity so they can get signed, so they can start touring, you know, make some really cool merchandise. If you're a new band, my opinion is do at least 100 shows a year. So people get to know you, you know. Just keep playing and playing and get to meet people who like the same stuff you do, you know.
Right. I guess it helps. Everybody tells me that, you know, if you're a big hit on YouTube as a band, you know, if you get a million hits or something like that, you will get noticed.
Of course.
True?
Definitely. You'll get noticed, but you can't just rely on the YouTube.
You
have to tour. People want to visually see you, and of course they want to hear you how you are live. A lot of the stuff on YouTube is doctored. They'll take the video of the live footage, then add the recorded music, not the stuff that's live, mainly because a lot of the times the quality isn't as good. But, you know, there's a lot of clever ways to do things. You know, I'm all for, you know, helping out the new guys, the new bands, and, you know, wishing them the best of luck, you know.
Well, thank you for doing that, because, you know, not a lot of people are doing that anymore, you know. And you know,
I don't know why. I mean, you know, it's... you know, it's a good thing to do, because you want to help creativity. You don't want it stifled. You don't want it stopped. You don't, you know, that's the whole thing with the piracy. A lot of bands and individuals will look at that and say, well, why should I do this? I can't make a living on it, because at the minute the song comes out, it's going to be downloaded. It's you know, it's not going to affect me, because the Ramones songs have been around for 40 years already.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So, you know, yeah, definitely. So the thing is that it's the newer bands that have to, you know, watch out for this and try to come up with something besides just the song.
You know, we were angry as teens, you know, and that, you know, got us to want to play music like the Ramones or, you know, and, you know, whatever band was actually... you know, talking our language through their lyrics.
Right.
And it, today it just seems like, you know, a lot of kids are just so passive with their cell phones, and they're happy with that. And I just don't see the anger, you know, for bringing out another, you know, punk rock generation or anything like that. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of things now in the world to be angry about. Now is the time for bands to get down and, you know, start writing about this stuff.
Right.
You know, the cell phones are cool, so is the Facebook. But, you know, to me they're like, you know, some of them are like babies with rattlers. You know, they need it. When I was driving in my car the other day, this guy was walking in the street, and his phone, but there was nothing on the phone. He was just looking at it, nothing on the screen. So I wanted to see, and I just got the car wash, right, so the windows were clean.
Right.
So I could see there was nothing there. I don't know what the word is. I'm not saying it's a crutch, but it's like, you know, you got to face the world. You got to face society. You have to you know, people are walking at you and away from you. You got to see what's going on out there. You can't just read a blog on a cell phone and a computer, because that's not the real deal.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yep.
You got to face life and face the realities of it, and then in turn, you know, use that with your own life, which you're going to do later on, no matter what you do, you know.
Right.
But it is technology, and it's wonderful if it's used right, but you can't let it control you.
And unfortunately, it's doing that to a lot of people nowadays.
Yeah, it is. Eventually, hopefully, they'll wake up and realize, you know, a lot of it is a waste of time. I mean, I know this guy who's on Facebook every minute because he wants to get more friends. And I would tell him, they're not your friends. It's just a number. All right, you might say hello to each other, but you don't know each other.
Exactly.
It's a nice prelude, mm-hmm. Preliminary to meet the person, but in the end, go out, go to a club, go to a function, do something with other friends, and you know that's how you meet people for real, you know.
Yeah, we had a camaraderie with going to concerts, you know, hanging out, you know, listening to the music. That's what it was all about.
Yeah,
and that's why the music was so powerful back in the day, you know?
That's why a lot of people still like the music I'm playing,
right.
You know, Ramon songs.
Right.
Because they know it was the real deal, and that with the lyrical content and energy was reflective about what was going on at the time, which is still happening now.
Exactly.
Politics are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of unemployment. There was... fear about the future. There was there were strikes. There was there were wars raging. You know, and in reality, in the end, people don't change. Just technology does.
Sure.
You know.
And you guys were serious. I mean, it was all about a message, right? You didn't consider yourselves just entertainers. In other words.
Well, I don't. The first thing was the music. I don't think we sat down, because I joined the band 2 years later.
Right.
You don't just sit down and you know, the Ramones for sure, mm-hmm. didn't just sit down and go, this is our message.
Right.
The songs were written just out of humor and fun and, you know, just very surreal and abstract. But the energy, too, a lot of the youth... especially now, up till now, can relate to, you know, because it's a very fast-paced society.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The Ramones could play anywhere, you know. I mean, a club, you know, stage. Great live band.
Yeah. I mean, I who knew that one of the Ramones that I would play Russia, China. There was an album that was made in 77 by the Ramones called Rocket to Russia. So, you know, obviously things have changed. You know, the wall came down, and it's been 20, 25 years. So playing there was unbelievable. They love all Western ways. And, you know, every time that I do play there, it's amazing how much warmth that I get from the audience, because they just, you know, listen to these songs. Even in the 70s when they couldn't, you know what I mean? They had found ways to get these songs.
Well, Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg you got some dates coming up beginning April 15th on Tax Day, and that starts in Monterey, right?
I wanted to play Mexico. I haven't been there for a while.
Yeah,
I think about 5 years. And
that's
then
cool.
From there, going to England and then South America.
Right.
And then I want to probably maybe book a few shows in America.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's time. I think you need to do a nice tour here in the U.S.
Florida,
man.
I love Florida. My grandmother's from there, St. Petersburg, yeah.
I'm very close to St. Pete. I'm in Sarasota, I'll go say hi to her.
Well, that would be pretty difficult. Sorry to say, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Miami Beach. I really love it there. Just running on the sand and going swimming, and you know.
Yeah, who needs the winners anymore, right?
Well, are there any more? I don't know. This winter here in New York was pretty warm.
I know.
I mean, there were only a few days.
You guys didn't get hit with the snow this year, huh?
No, not like 2 years ago. Right. A year ago was incredible. I mean, 3 feet of snow, cars buried because of the sanitation with the trucks. You know, when the trucks come, one side of the sidewalk is full of snow, which covers the cars.
Right.
So you have to wait. People have to wait until the snow melts or they get shoveled out. But with the shovel, you know, you end up scratching the car. It's a whole ordeal, you know.
The whole deal, yeah. Yeah, I don't miss those days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's why I have a place in L.A. and in Long Island
besides
Brooklyn, because this is my middle point, you know.
That's your middle point, yeah. Do you think the Ramones came, you know, just at the right time during the music cycle. Do you think the band was responsible for kind of revitalizing rock and roll at that time?
Well, you know, you had Blondie, you had the Ramones, you had Richard Hell, you had Talking Heads, you had Television, Patti Smith. We weren't aware that we were changing things at that moment, but we were playing music we liked.
Mm-hmm.
And on the radio, we weren't liking what was being played.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to knock anyone's taste. That's up to the individual. But we wanted the excitement, the short songs again in rock, which we achieved. Because so you have to admit, in the mid-70s, a lot of the bands started getting very self-indulgent with five songs on an album. You know, one song was 9-10 minutes long, and it's like, all right, already, enough with the guitar solos. Okay, you can play the fastest triplet. You can do the longest drum solo.
Right.
But they were done already. They were done. And it's like, it's just rehash of copy, you know what I mean? So the punk movement in CBGB's when punk started was just about the song.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason to overplay in it, and we just simplified it. So, you know, kids could maybe just pick up a guitar or bass and have a drum set and maybe play like that and enjoy it and not have to feel that they had to take 2-3 years of lessons to achieve something, you know?
Right. I think the Ramones, too, had, when you compare them to Blondie, and I was a DJ, I was a top 40 disc jockey back in like, 78, 79.
Ah, cool time.
Yeah, I played all that stuff, you know, the Cars.
Thank you.
Were very, very big. It was a great time, you know. I mean, those bands were good, but then you also had disco. You had Donna Summer
You know, like in the early 70s, up until the mid-70s, now, looking back as, you know, as I scan the radio or whatever, you know, some of those songs were good. They had good hooks, good choruses, compared to a lot of the stuff I'm hearing today.
Right.
But the thing is, that's what we were up against, and stadium rock.
Yep.
So luckily, the CBGB explosion happened because it made a lot of other people happy, too, you know?
Yeah. And then later on, a couple of your songs ended up in stadiums. For sporting events.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rock and Roll Radio, Blitzkrieg Bop, and, you know, the military, the police, and the fire department, really, they love the Ramones, too, you know, and a lot of sport teams do, too.
Yep.
So that helped, you know, but, they were basically chants, which gets you going, you know.
I think my first introduction to punk was probably, you know, like I liked the New York Dolls when they came out.
More of a glam band, but they were steeped in rhythm and blues too. But if you took away the makeup and the girl, you know, the high heel shoes and all this stuff, yeah, I could have seen them being a punk band, definitely.
Iggy Pop? How about Iggy Pop?
Iggy Pop to me was more garage rock.
Right.
Played slower. But more like a garage kind of feel, like the Velvet Underground, you know what I mean?
Right, right. How about the Flaming Groovies? What do you think about, was that more punk or more garage rock, I guess?
I would say an ingredient of both.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of a band? You probably have. Is it Los Psychos? Psychos from Lima, Peru? They were a 1964 band that they claim was one of the first punk rock bands.
Well, maybe. I'm not familiar with them, but then again, there was the Trashmen. They did Surf and Bird. They did,
you know,
then you had Louie, Kingsman. What are we talking, 62, 63?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, everybody claimed to be the first punk band, but CBGB's, the bands there, definitely solidified it. I mean, obviously there were punk elements in a lot of bands, like Blue Cheer and...
Yep.
And metal, before metal was even tagged metal by other bands. But CBGB's definitely, that was where everything was solidified.
Yeah, I asked, I was on Chris Stein's, he did a benefit here in Sarasota, Blondie.
Oh,
and
good.
We were talking about, I said, well, do you think bands like The Who were, you know, one of the first, you know, kind of punk rock guys, you know, and that were they kind of a punk rock genre back in that day? And he said no.
No, they were, definitely were.
Yeah, he didn't think so.
I mean, that's Chris's opinion,
right?
And you know, but look at my generation.
Yeah.
Come
exactly.
on, look at
yeah.
Look at Won't Get Fooled Again. I mean, you know, my generation was definitely a punk song. There's no
definitely.
Doubt about it. I mean, to me, well, that was at 65, 66.
Yep.
But the first real punk song that I noticed was All Day and All the Night by the Kinks.
By the Kinks, yeah, yeah.
That whole song had the elements of punk and metal combined.
Yep.
And then, you know, of course, before the Trashmen and the Kingsmen, but... you know, everybody claims this, that,
right.
and that, but, you know, you got to keep it going. You can't just do one punk song and then the rest of the album's something else, you know
right.
what I mean?
That's true.
So that's what, you know, Richard Hell and the Vortoids did and the Ramones did. And, you know, the Clash, the first Clash album and the Pistols album.
Well, the Clash kind of changed in the kind of dance music later on.
Oh, they went dance. Yeah,
yeah.
They did.
Yep.
Probably because they were told by their record company you need a hit.
Right.
So you know that happens. We didn't have somebody doing that to us. And if we did go dance and all that stuff, I think that would have been it. I think we wouldn't have had fans anymore. But they were influenced by reggae. They added that to what they were doing, and they had a few dance hits, you know.
I give the Ramones a lot of credit for sticking to their guns. You know,
oh, yeah, even when
changes.
We did the Phil Spector album, we stuck to our guns.
Yeah, even Kiss was changing kind of disco when they...
Oh, they did. They did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, when you start jumping on bandwagons...
Yep.
...instead of sticking to what you did to change music...
Yep.
...then it's all out the window.
Exactly. Well, that's why the Ramones are legends and true pioneers of the genre, you know?
I did 1,700 shows with them.
Wow.
It's in the band, I think, 14 years and 9 months.
Right.
And which was closer to 15 years, rounded out. And that was our intent, just to play that kind of music. And along the way, we influenced all these groups, which we were always grateful for, very happy to see that, because they were observing something and liking something that we were doing, you know?
Yep. Yeah, bands like Green Day, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They admitted it, which was great. You know, I mean, it's a lot of bands that won't admit to their influences, and I don't know why. I admit to my drumming influences. I mean, I loved Ringo as a kid. Mitch Mitchell, Jimi Hendrix Experience, Buddy Rich. I liked, Hal Blaine, Phil Spector's Wrecking Crew drummer. I like Keith Moon from The Who.
Yep.
So there's a lot of great different people out there, you know. But I admit it. I'm not going to say that, you know, it just came from out of space. These people shaped what I became, you know.
Sure. Yeah, it's the same thing with the Beatles. Their influence, you know, by the guys before them, you know.
Oh, yeah,
Richard,
Chuck
Elvis,
Berry.
Yeah, Chuck
Little
Berry.
Richard.
Yeah.
You know, Elvis, obviously. You know, the girl groups, the Shirelles, Motown.
Right.
It's like the Ramones. After Rocket to Russia, we had to change. Mm-hmm. That's why we did Road to Ruin that way with I Want to Be Sedated. Because they already, thank you, they already did their three chord, three albums, like the Beatles. They did their three or four albums with their influences. But then when they did Revolver and Rubber Soul, that's when they started becoming really themselves, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like the Ramones with Road to Ruin and End of the Century and Pleasant Dreams, you know?
You know, what you said about, you know, just playing short songs, you know, short versions of songs. I think that was great, and a lot of songs from the 60s were like that.
Well, exactly. That's what was missing. That's what was missing.
You know, I love Led Zeppelin, but one thing I did not like about them is when you see them live, sometimes they go off on tangents, and I hate
that.
What are they doing?
On.
Just play the song and move on.
I know, and they had a lot of good songs. Maybe to show their technical abilities, but all right, you know, we want to hear what we got on the record.
Exactly.
You know what I mean.
Robert Plant was just down here in Venice yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, right?
just a few minutes from me.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I've never met him. Never. Yeah, I met John Paul Jones, but I never met any of the other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, Clem Burke was in the band very, very shortly, and then
two days. Yeah,
it's hard to believe, isn't it? And then he brought you back after that.
Well, what happened was the drummer that replaced me when I decided to get sober, and you know they asked me to leave the group.
Right.
He disbanded he just left the band. Didn't tell them. He deserted them, and then they had 17 shows to do. If they didn't do the shows, they would have gotten sued. So they asked Clem first.
Right.
Couldn't do it. And he's a great drummer with Blondie, and he's Blondie's drummer.
Right.
Then they asked me back, and I said, "Are you sure? You know, what's going on?" Oh, the drummer left the band. He was whining about money. He wasn't getting merchandise. And I go, "Oh, I see what's happening. So now you're calling me up and you want me back in the group, right?" They go, "You got to come back because we're going to get sued."
Right.
I go, "Is that the main reason?" I go, "No, because we hear you sober and we always liked you and we're proud of you." And I go, "You know, that's really nice. I'm very happy for that because we're making amends now towards each other."
Yeah.
So we did that. I went with John to a studio and we did the whole set. Mm-hmm. And it was like I never left. And I wrote down the songs in the set because I haven't played it in a while.
Right.
And I put the set on a music stand, and I just rolled with it. That was it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad you came back. I really am.
It was unexpected, I'll tell you. So we made up the 17 shows. They didn't get sued. And the first song I did with them when I got back was Pet Sematary.
Great song.
For the movie soundtrack, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, he lives over here, and he lives over in Massachusetts as well. He's got two. I saw him. We did some kind of a. He's funny, actually, Stephen King.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy, man.
Yeah. Very intense.
He does like stand-up comedy when he does his little. I think he did a benefit over here for a library.
Yeah, he plays guitar too.
That's right. Yeah, he's in the blues and a lot of things. Yeah, pretty cool guy.
Yep.
When I asked you in our last interview, I brought up Phil Spector. You know the famous story about he pointed the gun.
Yeah.
And you said it was bullshit. Right?
It was bullshit.
Why is it still circulating? What are they doing?
Well, where are they circulating it from?
I don't know where they're getting their information. It's still on the internet. And
probably from somebody's blog.
Right.
Or probably from some book that somebody wrote about the Ramones twisted it around. But Johnny Ramone was in a video complaining about Phil's guns.
Right, right.
He had a license to carry, and they were in the studio, but they had an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So in the video, John goes to the video guy, cameraman, what are you going to do, Phil, shoot me? But Phil wasn't in the room. He didn't have the gun pointed at him.
Right.
He just said, what are you going to do, shoot me? Does that
right.
mean that the gun was being pointed at him? No. I was in the studio every minute of the moments we were there. There was no gun drawn.
Right.
So that was taken out of context. So I'm just letting everybody know my book, the real story happened,
right.
and you know that's I hate to blow the bubble of this
urban
story, but it didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Yeah, see,
no.
People are going to believe it even more now that you know Spector's in jail and you know all this.
Yeah. No, but hey, he did shoot off guns in certain studios with other artists.
Yeah,
but that
yeah.
doesn't mean he pointed them at them and shot them. How are you going to produce the artists if you kill somebody?
You
know what I mean? Come on. I mean, did anybody ever think of that? You know.
What was he like to work with? I mean, was he?
I loved him. Me and Joey loved him. Dee Dee and Johnny didn't get along with him.
Right.
He didn't get along with Johnny and Dee Dee. I remained friends with him until he went away to jail.
Yep.
Joey liked him a lot because he got a lot out of him on the End of the
right.
Century album and worked with him, which was great. I liked him because we were drinking buddies. We were like, you know, we were like the teammates, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the fun guys. After the sessions, we'd go out to the clubs on the strips, on Sunset Strip in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Whiskey, the Rainbow, the Troubadour, the Roxy,
right.
and...
Yeah.
Make the rounds, you know, and he would always come to my hotel room with a bottle, but his love of Manischewitz wine didn't go over too well with me. That's a religious table wine
right.
during Hanukkah, etc.
Right.
I thought it was too sweet for me, so I turned him on to Italian wine, good, Valpolicella or a Bordellino.
Right.
And he loved it. So... you know, I mean, we all had a great time back then, so I always remember that and stay friends with him.
You guys, you and the other guys in the band were pretty close, huh? Were you like brothers pretty much?
More than brothers.
More than brothers.
It was more like, well, how can you be more than brothers? We were bandmates. We were
right.
business partners. Brothers and families argue, so do business
right.
partners. So, you know, that's what we did. But, 15 years in a van, which we chose to tour with, not a
right.
tour bus,
mm-hmm.
and we all had our own rows, and that's how it was. So I guess about 5 to 6 hours in a van driving to your next venue, there's bound to be some disagreements and arguments.
Definitely.
So that's what happened, but in the end, we never took that on the stage, and... gave it all we got, which is what we always did.
Yeah, we all miss the guys, you know. It breaks your heart to just think about,
yeah,
you know.
That's why I don't
early.
Take part. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't take part in any museums.
Right.
That you know, the Ramones are involved in. I don't do any birthday bashes.
Yep.
I don't go to any cemeteries because I feel now, after this amount of time, we should celebrate life.
Sure, I agree with you. I lost three people, three really dear friends of mine, at a young age as well. And
yeah.
you know, I can feel for you.
I mean, you can't keep thinking about it because
you
end up dwelling in being in the past. You have
yep.
to think of your present and your future,
yep.
and think of the good times you had and move on. I mean, you know, naturally in life. You can get over someone's death,
mm-hmm.
but not really. It's always going to be there with you. But the initial response to death is the horrible thing.
It is. But you got a great attitude and a great positive attitude.
I try. You know.
Yeah. You know, you said in an interview, I think it was with Troy Hayden, an interview on YouTube, that you would never call yourself and a new band the Ramones. And I thank
no
you
way.
So much for that.
No way. I'll play the songs.
Right.
I mean, I'm Marky Ramone. There's nothing I can do about that.
Right, right.
But I'll, you know, I'm not going to call it the Ramones. A lot of bands do that. They
do that all the time. You
they
got one
have
guy
the name.
In the band.
they have one name.
Yeah.
Who is that one guy in the band who was there. Then they get all three, four new members, and they call it the group. Now, that's ripping off the public.
It's terrible. You know, I looked at Iron Butterfly. There's not one member of Iron Butterfly in the band, and they're calling themselves Iron Butterfly.
Well, that's not right, and obviously somebody's doing it because they need the money.
Right.
But the thing is that how do you get away with that?
That's ridiculous.
Don't people explore and investigate before they go out to a concert to see who's in the group? You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's sad because, you know, there are some people, you know, I bring up like Foreigner. You know, I know Lou Gramm. Great man.
Same thing with the Misfits. You only have one guy in the group.
Exactly.
Only Jerry.
Yeah. And then people go see them, and some people are so stupid they don't know better. You know.
I know.
You know, it's a shame. I know. It's like seeing a cover band, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, who knows what the reasons are?
Yep.
Could be the estate members. Who are falling on hard times that reform a group, use that name, and it brings them maybe some extra royalties or something for that year. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what's so cool about you is because you experienced the late '60s, you know, the heyday of that time. And then you experienced the '70s with the punk rock and new wave movement. You know,
right.
So you got the best of both worlds, and you had a friend, right, Velvet Turner.
Yep.
And he was the understudy of Jimi Hendrix, right?
Yeah, great guy. He's in the making of Electric Ladyland, the album.
Right.
And he brought me to a club in the city to meet Jimi Hendrix,
How cool
Jim
is that?
Morrison, and Buddy Miles when they were rehearsing and ready to do the New Year's Eve show at the Fillmore for the band of Gypsies.
That's historic.
So Jim Morrison was there and drinking, and you know they wanted me to do lines with them in the bathroom. I was only 16 years old.
Right.
So I had to get home, and my father was waiting in the in the lobby. You know. And, I had to go upstairs, you have to go to school in the morning. Then I go to school, I tell all my friends who I was with, they didn't believe me.
Of course not.
Too bad you didn't have a cell phone back then, I'll tell you.
I know. No pictures, huh? You didn't get any pictures or anything?
No. And, you know, a lot of the artists back then were a lot more sensitive about something like that, too, you know?
Right.
Now there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, everyone has a camera, and you know, you just got to go with the flow, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I did an interview with Billy Cobham, who knew Buddy Miles.
Yeah.
And Buddy Miles apparently was a very good guitar player as well.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a great guitar player, and I know. Oh my gosh, I'm getting too old for this. Marvin Gaye was a very good drummer.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He played on a lot of the early, he played on the Mr. Postman.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the first, I think, Marvelettes single. And, he was a session Motown player for a while. Buddy Miles was a very tight drummer, very good. That album was great.
He was a great drummer.
That band of Gypsies, really good.
Great, yeah, great band. You know, we were talking about smartphones with kids. How about we need the smartphone SWAT? The
yeah, we do.
Have an inch on a stick.
Yeah, at certain times, glued on a stick, especially when the guy gets in front of you, and you know, you were invited to the show. You're in the third row, and you're watching a really great band. Then he gets up. Then he puts his girlfriend on his shoulders, and they just stand in front of you. And then everyone else gets up, and you got to stand for an hour to watch a show. So I swore I would never do that again. You know?
Everybody go to www.markyramone.com and check out the smartphone SWAT, or the Ramone 7-inch on a stick. It is so funny.
Yeah, I mean, would I do that? No. But, I mean, it's a cool idea. I wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
But the whole idea was a 45 and a drumstick,
right.
Taped or glued, and hitting the person's phone in front of you, blocking your view of the band you want to see with your eyes on a big stage with great sound instead of a little cell phone.
Right, right. It's gotten out of hand, hadn't it, at concerts?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, I had friends that were actually thrown out of concerts back in the day because they were trying to take a picture, you know?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. But do you call it progress, maybe, or do you call it annoying? Yes. maybe it can, especially a younger band, it could help them to get on YouTube, maybe.
Right.
You know, there's a good video of one of their songs that came out good. That I could see. But not for the whole hour and a half.
No.
Come on, give me a break.
The other bad thing about it, when they post it on YouTube, the quality is so bad.
Always the worst, always the worst.
It's horrible. Now, are you, I heard you were a sci-fi fan. Are you a big sci-fi fan?
Sci-fi, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have 300 original sci-fi posters from the 50s.
Oh, wow. How'd you get a hold of that stuff?
I collected them on the road since the late 70s.
Right.
And they only used to be $10-$15 each.
Yep.
You know? And now forget it. You know,
it's worth a lot of money now.
Yeah. So I just keep them.
So what part of sci-fi do you like? Do you like the old 50s movies and things like that?
Yeah, I thought they had a certain charm, and the artwork was great on the posters. Mm-hmm. The artwork was unbelievable. And it was the beginning of that genre, really. You had Universal, which had the horror movies. Then you had the 50s that came along with the Cold War, with the rockets and the bombs and the nuclear weapons and, creating big spiders and ants and, big crab monsters and Godzilla and, all that stuff. And those are the posters I collected.
That's awesome. How about the new stuff today? Are you into like Star Trek, the new Star Trek movies, and did you see Star Wars?
I liked the D9 or K9, where they come to Earth to take over the aliens come to Earth to take over I forgot the name of the movie. That was really good. I liked the new Godzilla. I thought it was okay, but I thought they made him too buffed looking. He looked too buffed.
Yeah,
like he just got out of a gym, which was ridiculous. I liked the Alien series until it got a little ridiculous.
Right. Right.
So there's a lot of good stuff out there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, nobody ever talks about it. I like the Mothman Prophecies movie with Richard Gere. I thought that was kind of cool. Kind of, and the music of it was fantastic. It was, nobody ever talks about that movie.
I've been into very early 70s
cop
movies like French Connection, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3,
right.
The Seven Ups. I liked Bullet a lot.
McQueen was awesome.
It's great. All those movies are great. Even Shaft. What was the other one? Anthony Quinn. Really good. Really good. Yeah, Silver Fly was good too.
Yep.
Very, very, very New York at that time and
very,
very gritty, you know?
Yep. I like that kind of thing. You know what I love? I watch MeTV at night. And I'm watching Barney Miller. I'm hooked on Barney Miller again.
they had some good people on that show.
Yeah, good show.
They had Abe Vigoda. Who was the other guy? He was a Chinese guy, I think.
Yeah.
He played a detective.
Like that. Yeah.
Jack Su.
Yeah, Jack
right?
Su.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, Woodrow Howitz. And we just lost Dave. I thought he was forever.
92 years old. I got to hang out with him. I asked him, "What's the secret of longevity in life?"
Right.
He goes, "Handball and wine."
Handball and wine. That's a good combination.
Yeah, he used to play a lot of handball.
He's from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. And he played a lot. And he drank wine. I don't know if he was an alcoholic, but he liked wine. you know. But he said that was one of the, that those were one of the reasons why he thinks he lived to that age, and then he passed away.
You know, it's amazing. During the Barney the Miller series, he looked old.
Yeah, he looked old.
He looked really, right? But he wasn't that old. He wasn't as old as we thought, you know?
He wasn't. He was in his early 50s.
His early 50s.
Yeah, early 50s.
Yeah.
He was a lieutenant or a Gold Shield detective?
Yeah, he was a detective, right?
Yeah.
He was a sergeant I think.
Yeah, Barney was the lieutenant, right?
Lieutenant,
or was he captain?
Yeah, captain. Captain
Miller.
Yeah,
and then the lieutenant was somebody, I don't know who they were, but, you know, I think they were all detectives.
Right, all detectives. Good show. They don't make shows like that anymore.
No way.
No. Yeah, speaking of Brooklyn, there's a lot of teams returning to Brooklyn. I mean, you got the Nets, and now you got the Islanders, right?
It's Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty cool.
Hottest place in the world now is Brooklyn.
That's what I hear. But it's changed a little bit, right? They've got...
everything else. You got gentrification. You know, it's cleaned up a little bit than it was. So you ain't trying to make everyone happy, you know?
Have you been to an Islander game? Are you into hockey or no?
No, I've been away. I just got back from London, Italy, and France.
How was that trip?
That was good.
Good?
That was, a good one.
That do you have? Are you married? Do you have children?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How many children do you have?
Three.
You have three. Any musicians in the lot?
What's that?
Any musicians in the lot?
Nope, not at all.
How about grandkids?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
I got one.
Wow.
One year old grandkid. I'm still young. I'm 57.
That's right.
Which is kind of young to have a grandkid.
Good for you.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. It really is. Marky, anything else you'd like to promote?
Well, I suggest everyone get that book, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, because it tells the whole story about the punk scene and before it and afterwards and what was going on in New York and life and the times and, you know, just a lot of historical events. Very, how do you say, it's very comprehensive.
Right.
So give it a shot.
We'll do that, and it's available everywhere. Yep, it's on your website,
www.markyroll.com,
Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's out everywhere.
All right.
Marky, thank you so much, man, for
Anytime.
Being on the show today, especially for all the incredible music you've given us with the Ramones and all the music you continue to bring.
Thank you very much.
Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, too.
Okay, thanks, Marky. Be sure to visit these great sites for all the latest Marky Ramone news and touring information. www.markyramone.com is the official site of Marky Ramone. www.facebook.com, official Marky Ramone, that's his address on Facebook. And https twitter.com/Marky Ramone, that's his Twitter. Marky Ramone's Punk Rock Blitzkrieg radio show can be heard on Sirius XM, Faction Channel 41, Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific. Marky Ramone's latest book, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone, the final word on the genius and mischief of the Ramones told by the man who kept the beat and lived to tell about it. Available to purchase at Amazon.com or www.markyramone.com. Be sure to visit these great sites for all the latest Marky Ramone news and touring information. www.markyramone.com, the official site of Marky Ramone. www.facebook.com, the official Marky Ramone Facebook site. And, of course, his Twitter site, which is twitter.com/Marky Ramone. Marky Ramone's Punk Rock Blitzkrieg radio show can be heard on Sirius XM Faction Channel 41. Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts on Friday and Saturday. Join me biweekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. Very special thanks to Chipster PR and Consulting, Inc. for hooking us up today with Marky Ramone, and also Don and Doug Newsom, our engineers with BBS Radio, for making it all happen every show. coming up next on the Ray Shasho Show. My special guest will be bass player Kenny Aronson, who was a member of Dust with Marky Ramone, a member of the Stories, Joan Jett's Blackhearts, the New York Dolls, and currently of the Yardbirds. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on the Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, the true story of an eclectic American family and their wacky family business, available now at Amazon.com. You will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on VBS Radio, Station 1.